You are now listening to the CRC podcast, brought to you by Pastor At Bosso. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
We want to welcome you tonight, all our television viewers tonight in Faith TV. What a great honor to be with you again tonight. We are believing, God, that your home will become a sanctuary where God is going to come and touch you tonight. Welcome to our Facebook viewers, YouTube viewers, CRC on live, radio stations all over Africa and the nations of the world. God bless you. Come on, let everything that have breath keep the name of the Lord Jesus a mighty shout of praise. Amen. God bless you. Take your seats and open your Bibles quickly with me to Luke chapter 12. We only have a moment, and that is all that we need together in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, say it tonight. The revival is not open. Lift your hand to the heavens tonight and say, I am ready. Kom aan, Afrikaans, sê ek is gereed. In die naam van Jesus Christus. Luke chapter 12, verse 49 to 53. And I read from the Message Bible. Jesus talking and he says, I've come to start a fire in the earth. Everybody say fire. Not a dead religion. A fire that will change people's lives. How I wish it were blazing right now. I've come to change everything, to turn everything right side up. How I long for it to be finished. Do you think I came to smooth things over and to make everything nice? Not so. I've come to disrupt and I've come to confront. Say it tonight. Say things are going to change for the better. Come on, talk with some conviction. Things are going to change. Say your country's name, South Africa. Things are changing. There's a shaking going on and things are changing. Says, I've come to disrupt and confront. From now on, when you find five in a house, it will be three against two and two against three. Father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against bride, and bride against mother-in-law. Says nothing about the son being against his mother-in-law. Amen. Because that's a natural thing. I'm just playing. Okay. You have to choose. In these days, you have to choose where you stand. Like somebody was sitting on a fence, a young man was sitting on a fence, and the devil came, and people were sitting on this side, and people were sitting on the other side of the fence, and he was sitting on the fence. One foot in the world, one foot in the church. And the devil came and he gathered his people on his side of the fence. The young man thought, oh, I'm okay. A while later, the devil came and grabbed him. He said, but I'm sitting on the fence. I haven't made up my mind. The devil said to him, the fence belongs to me. It's time to decide. It's time to stand for God. Because if you don't stand for God, you will fall for anything. We need young men. Come on, can I have a 16-year-old in this house tonight on the balcony there on the ramp where all the teenagers are, a student up there that say, I'm ready to take a stand for God. Come on. Can I see somebody that is not ready to conform, but somebody that is ready to transform? Somebody that's not ready to fit in, but somebody that's ready to stand out? Somebody that's not ready to roll over, but somebody that's ready to take over for Jesus Christ in business as a teenager? Hallelujah. As a child, as a woman. Amen. Ladies, your march is not starting at the, it's stopping at the end of August, okay? It's time to choose. Luke chapter 3, the Message Bible, verse 16 and 17. But John intervened. I'm baptizing you here in the river. The main character in this drama, to whom I'm a mere stagehand, will ignite the kingdom life, a fire, the Holy Spirit within you, changing you from the inside out. Now, how many of you know that religion cannot change people? Can I have an amen up there in the balcony? I mean, 50 people sit here and they think, who's in the balcony? By faith, there are thousands of people in the balcony. Just watch the space when you open our churches. I'm talking to you that are, yeah, although you sit at home tonight, I see you in this place. Hallelujah. How many of you know that politics cannot change a nation? How many of you know that legislation cannot reform human hearts? Only God can do that. That's why I say to government and pray for us. We're meeting with our president on Wednesday, and he's obviously under a lot of fire right now. Many things happening in our country. We need to pray for our president, pray for our government. But we appeal to our president to allow churches to open safely. Say amen there on television land. We have enough doctors. We have enough medical professionals to allow churches to be open safely. Here's the challenge. When you take church out of society, the collective voice of the church, chaos and moral decay is the direct result of it. South Africa right now, during this lockdown, have the highest teenage pregnancies it ever has had. Don't tell me young people are doing fine and young people can go sit at home and they can serve God alone in front of a television. Let me tell you, as a pastor of 34 years, young people need the church. Young people need to worship God with other young people. Young people need to be in the presence of God with other young people, or they wander away. That's why the church is important. I pray that our government will never make the mistake that the previous dispensation made, where the state controlled the church. I talk to some pastors and they're oblivious of what is happening in the world. It's like they are just willing to hand over control to politicians, and many of those politicians are not born again and do not carry the interest of God's kingdom at heart. Bible says he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. The church should not be in the hands of politicians. I see your amen's getting soft. I don't care. I'm telling you, speaking the truth. So Jesus says, I will ignite the kingdom life. I will ignite a fire, the Holy Spirit within you, that will change everything from the inside out. He's going to clean a house, South Africa. No more corruption. Oh, come on, just shout hallelujah or give the Lord a praise. Don't do anything in Jesus' name. He's going to clean house. He'll place everything true in its proper place before God. Everything false, he'll put out with a trash to be burned. A lot of false prophetic ministries will come to an end. Because whatever is false will not stand this time and this test and this challenge. Are you listening to me? That's why you better make sure that you're building your business, you're building your life upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You build your church upon the Lord Jesus Christ and the purpose of Jesus. You don't build the church upon your culture, and you build the church upon your background and upon your race and upon your skin color. The church has to be built upon the chief cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ. So when churches open, daar op die platteland ook, dan moet die kerk as die deure oop wees vir almal. Twee diens in die middag vir swart mense, daai dae is verby. Jy moet jou deure oop maak. And stop talking about people that are born again as them and us. Amen. Now I've lost some of you, but you want revival, you'll have it God's way. So Jesus makes it clear, I've come to start a fire. I've come to change everything. I talk to people and people don't like me to say it. And I say, well, open the doors of your church. And they say, we're not ready. What do you mean you're not ready? Are you ready for heaven? Because when you get to heaven, you will not have a political tag or a denominational tag or a racial tag. When you come to heaven, the only thing that qualifies you is your relationship with Jesus Christ. So he says, I'm going to change everything. I'm going to set things in order. I'm going to bring the kingdom order. I'm going to ignite the kingdom life. I'm going to disrupt the status quo. I'm going to turn things upside down. Listen, South Africa. We can protest until Jesus comes back, but just protesting will not change anything. We have to pray, and we have to stand up, and we have to preach the gospel, and we have to be the church of Jesus Christ, and we have to do what is pleasing before God. Say amen in Jesus' name. Cannot hide our light under a bushel any longer. Cannot play church. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. The church has to lead the way, but the church has lost its credibility because the church does not represent heaven, where there's no culture, where there's no color, where there's no social class, where there's no separation based on language. There's one language in heaven. That's the language of love. There's one thing that matters in heaven, the blood of Jesus Christ that unifies us. Come on, if you are born again tonight and you are blood washed and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, give the Lord Jesus a mighty shout of praise. Hallelujah. You know, I was a pastor in Lady Brand 1988, and over Lady Brand there was Afrikaner Lady Brand. And when I started that church, my pastor said, in those days, he said, "My putti, we are not called for the black people. Black people are different to us." Well, that's what he said, but God told me to start a church for everybody. And I'll tell you, when the fire of God fell in that little place, people came from all walks of life. People came, the rich and the poor came. Black and white came long before the politicians decided that apartheid was a sin. When you open the doors of the church to the Holy Ghost, God is going to bring people. People are going to come from all walks of life. And if you're a true man of God, you need to stand at the door of that church and you have to embrace those people and say, "Welcome home in Jesus' name." Come on, if you love Jesus tonight, jump on your feet and give Him a radical praise offering in the name of Jesus. So tonight, I want to talk about the purpose of this fire. Because when we talk about revival, people are just wanting an experience. And although an experience is something great, and we thank God for experiences and encounters with God, those experiences must impact us and lead to reform. Now, I know you don't get a lot of amens when you talk about reform and responsibility. Everybody says amen when you talk about the blessing and the goosebump. But when the message goes beyond you, which is the gospel message, when the message challenges, confronts, disrupts your status quo, the amens wane. You see, my pastor, God gave me this wife and God gave me these children, and this is my life, my family. And I thank God that He blessed you with a wife. She's your portion. And I thank God that He gave you beautiful children. But that's not the beginning and the end of your life. That is the start of your life. You now need to train those children of yours to be ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, not just to think about themselves and not to be trained that they're the Alpha and the Omega of existence and the center of everything. They should be an extension of God, your Father. I say this to parents all the time. My children are an extension of me. And the way I raise them will determine what they will do and achieve and accomplish in life. Well, we are an extension of God. We're going to talk about that because when God puts His fire upon us, there's a purpose. The fire of God never leaves you where it finds you. It doesn't help. We want to just put out fires in society. Gender-based violence, we shoot. Racism, institutional, farm murders. All these ugly things in society, we should be against them. But more than that, we have to start new fires. You have to fight fire with fire. You can't put a fire out and leave a vacuum because something else will stand up. So Jesus starts a new fire, a fire that is so powerful that it will consume every fire. It will consume the fire of hatred, the fire of bondage, the fire of racism, the fire of anger, the fire of crime. That's what the fire of Jesus will do. That's why we can't have a church without the fire of God. Because without God's fire, you will go back to your old ways. Which was what? Me, myself, my life, preservation, conservation. The only thing that Jesus brought was a purpose. When He calls the disciples, He says, "Follow me and I will make you become fishers of men." I call you beyond yourself. It's like sometimes we forget we'll stand before Jesus one day, and we don't have to fear that. I spoke about that this morning. And especially in a lockdown like this, people so go into a mode. That's why I'm so opposed to a lockdown that is governed by fear with false information, that even Christians are afraid to do anything. They're not afraid to visit their families. They're not afraid to go to the shopping mall, but they're afraid to go to church because they lost the fire. Because this lockdown was initiated by fear, which resulted in what? Self-preservation. Survival. And nothing about Jesus is about survival. Nothing about Jesus is about maintaining the status quo. Nothing. Nothing about Jesus is about comfort. I mean, we could all, people especially who do well in businesses and our church as well. I mean, God's blessed our church. God's increased our influence hundredfold, literally. We have so many thousands joined the church in this time from all over. Our influence, letters, Russia. So I'm one of the last pastors that should call for churches to be open, because we actually are in the best place ever when it comes to influence. But I understand more. I understand that the longer you sit in your blessed assurance in your home, the longer it's going to take to activate you, to get busy with a life beyond yourself again. And then one day when you stand before Jesus Christ, you are not going to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Because the only thing that matters is what you do for God and God's kingdom. And that's what Jesus says, the fire brings a kingdom life, a kingdom order. The kingdom life challenges everything. The kingdom life confronts everything. Do you think I was never challenged and confronted? People say to me, "Pastor, you sound very hard on Afrikaners." I say, "No, no, I'm hard on Afrikaners. I talk to Afrikaners because I am an Afrikaner. If I talk to anybody else, Narendra can talk to English people directly about certain things. But like Paul said, I'm a Jew of the Jews. I can talk to the Jews. I understand them. So I don't attack Afrikaners. I talk to Afrikaners and I say, "Ek is Adam Johannes Jacobus Boshoff. Ek kom ver regs in Suid-Afrika." Do you think I didn't have challenges when Jesus came into my life? Somebody that grew up in a church that would never clap my hands, raise my hands, shout in a church. Somebody that went to church when it suited me. Where I was taught to fit God into my life, not my life fitted in with God. And then being in a little Pentecostal church that was all white, praying in tongues, doing mission work in Botswana, in 1986, 87, 88, and being challenged by the Spirit of God that people are the same, opening the church and having to work through my racial prejudice. Do you think when you are confronted with a kingdom life, it's easy? Giving your tithe, honoring God with your time, honoring God with your treasure. Telling your children sometimes, "Daddy cannot be at the rugby match because I have to mentor other young people that don't have a daddy." Do you think I didn't also want to be every time when my kids played rugby there? But there were times I could not be there because there were other children who needed me more than my own children. Amen. Yes. Amen. New order. If God's blessed you with a great family, then go adopt an underprivileged family. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your two amens. Otherwise, what's this all about? Huh? Yes. You say, "Pastor, that's a very, very..." You know, I said to pastors the other day, many pastors, I was sitting with many pastors, they're all mature people, and I mean, they all do great things for God. I said, "I wonder how comfortable we would be a day in the presence of Jesus." I'm not talking about how much Jesus loves us and how he cares about us, but when it comes to kingdom purpose, how comfortable would we be if his disciples for 3 years were never left comfortable? As a matter of fact, I studied, and we all know this, but out of the 12 apostles, including the one that replaced Judas, they all died except John the Baptist, John the beloved, that was boiled in hot oil, and they couldn't kill him, and he was imprisoned, and every bone in his body was almost broken when he had the revelation of Jesus Christ on the old Patmos. 12 or 11 out of 12 of them were killed, martyred. Many of them had wives and children. I'm not saying you're going to be martyred, but my goodness me, if you cannot put God first in your life of blessing, I don't know about your Christianity. If you cannot put Jesus above everything without this persecution, I don't know about your Christianity, because these people were unstoppable, unstoppable. They put James in a tree trunk and they sawed him in half. Peter, they crucified him, and he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord and Savior. Crucify me upside down. That's the same Peter that denied Jesus before the day of Pentecost. So radical were these people, they were unstoppable. And I say, you don't need to be martyred, but you need to make up your mind to begin to stand for God, to be louder for God, to be proud for God, to be unashamed, to raise your children, to be ambassadors of the kingdom of God, and to love people that are not like you, in Jesus' name. Say amen. We need new fire. I said we need new fire, because new fire will bring heaven's purpose. Not a little Shandai Hyundai. People have prayer meetings and it's more about blessing me and my need. And you can pray for your daily bread, but I think we need to go a little bit beyond that now. You need to now pray, God, show me where I can share my bread. Show me, when you buy a dress for your daughter, who I can bless with another dress. Teach her to be content with two dresses and give one dress away. Find somebody. Take them to the shopping mall. I did it to my children when they grew up. I said, today I'm not taking you. And I send them to bless other children. I said, your clothes will not wear out. Amen. Your clothes will not wear out. You don't need all the latest and the greatest all the time. There are people that don't even have clothes. But you see, if we don't have the fire of God, we don't see the world through the eyes of Jesus. We see ourselves. We become self-consumed and we live self-absorbed, because we lack what heaven gives. People stay away from the fire. I mean, when that bush burned in Exodus chapter 3, Moses could avoid the fire. But once you are touched by the fire and arrested by the fire, you cannot be the same. Never. Oh, come on, somebody that have been touched by the fire of God, give the Lord a praise and get yourself back to the burning bush in Jesus' name. Oh, come on. God's taking people back. God's taking people back. God's reigniting the fire. God's reigniting the flames, the fervor, the fire. Oh, come on. God's been good to you. It's now your time to be good to others. It's now your time to be an ambassador in the name of Jesus, to run for your God. To run for your God. Unashamed. You know, people are clever. People are clever. They know when they get in a true place with God, things are going to change. So people avoid it. I've had many encounters with God, but every radical encounter I had with God was in a church. You think God wants his church closed? People, don't write me now again and say, well, pastor, churches aren't closed. Blah, blah, blah. Thank God you're not in charge of God's kingdom. Thank God. As long as you can sit in your home and suck your thumb, you're happy. This virus is either from God or it's not from God. Make up your mind. And if it's not from God, then everything it destroys is not God's will. Doesn't need rocket science. People losing their jobs. I mean, people come with this stuff, and I know not everybody likes me because I'm frank, and they say, well, now maybe you can grow deep in your relationship with God. Hallelujah. You can grow deep in your relationship with God at any time. You don't need to be knocked out. Oh, I was riding my motorbike and I had an accident and I found God, so God caused the accident. No, it's the first time you became quiet and the first time you were listening and the first time you reached out to God. God did not cause the accident. God was with you. In the boardroom, God's with you always. All you need to do is turn to God. God, God didn't have to smash you down to get your attention. People say, I've grown so much deeper with God in this time. Okay, and where did that lead you? Because every person that has a deep encounter with God is activated to do something for people. So, your deeper experience with God, where has it led you? Where has it taken you? How many people got saved because of your deeper revelation of Jesus Christ? How many broken lives were healed? How many poor people were fed because of your deeper relationship with Jesus Christ? We're not busy with theory. When God comes to Moses at the burning bush and Moses is overwhelmed by the fire of God, he's alone. God says, I've seen the oppression of my people. And the reason this fire is here is because I want to help my people. And what does God say to him? Come now and I will send you. You know, when you're in the presence of God, you're not filled with apathy. We need God's fire, and I'm going to stay here till 12 o'clock tonight. No, we're working with the Holy Ghost. We're working, needing. Nou die woord deurwerk in mense se harte. Because many people, I'm sure, I don't know, have taken their journey now. They say, I can watch the service later. Oh, we'll just lay in bed and watch the service. Oh, we'll play with the kids while we watch the service. And God's not getting their attention. Really? And you say it's okay? Where Jesus comes to take preeminence, and the Holy Ghost comes for one purpose, and that is to glorify Jesus. Don't think when you get close to God, except if you're a sinner, that everything is just going to be comfortable. God's going to change some things before He makes you comfortable again. So Hebrews 12:29, the Bible says, our God is a consuming fire. Mark 1:8, I baptize you with water, but He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Luke 3:16, He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. John 1:33, He upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon Him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon me and you will be turned into witnesses, demonstrators of the kingdom life. First in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. We're not going to see things change in the natural. We're not going to see things change through people who are bound by apathy. God doesn't need 32,000 people. He needs 300. Those who are fearful and afraid, God cannot use them because they yield to fear. They're paralyzed. Even when God called Gideon out of the wine press, and remember now, and I have to close, Gideon was of the lesser tribes of Israel, the least of the 12 tribes, then of that tribe, his family was the least, the lowest. In that family, he was the lowest. So he was the lowest of the low. And God calls him. Just like David, when Samuel comes to Jesse's house and Eliab comes by and he says, surely the Lord's anointed, because he was impressive in his physique. God says, I've refused him. For the Lord does not look on the outward appearance, the Lord looks on the heart. So you vote for him. I don't vote for him. You want to promote him? I'm not going to promote for him. Because I see what you don't see. I see a heart that is loyal to me. And because his heart is loyal to me, I'm going to show myself strong on his behalf. I know when he says something with his mouth, whether he knows it. I know where his heart is at. So yes, Gideon, who makes his excuses. Yes, Moses, who runs away from God. Yes, Jacob, who lives in isolation. All these people not fulfilling their destiny, living in isolation, a self-absorbed life for whatever reason, different reasons. And here comes God. Peter, backslidden, Samson tied to a mill, grinding away, left blind. Jonah running away from the presence of God, from the call of God. And yet God comes to him one more time. I want to tell you that God in these days are coming to people one more time. You may be sitting on the plot along tonight. You've messed up. I want to tell you God's going to turn your mess into a message. God's going to turn your mistake into a miracle. God's going to lift you up. God's going to bless you. God's going to turn something good out of your life. He's going to give you beautiful ashes in the name of Jesus. Say amen. Tonight I'm talking to you right where you sit tonight. God's not finished with you. Your best days are ahead of you. In the name of Jesus, say amen. Hallelujah. 85, Caleb. One touch. One touch. Saul on the road to Damascus. Discover the two greatest things you can. Who are you, Lord? What is it that you want me to do with my life? That's it. Solomon says everything else is vanity. What people applaud down here, God isn't even take note of it. You're not going to get to heaven and God remembers who won the World Cup or God remembers who scored a goal. What building you built, what house you lived in. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses himself? If he lays up treasures on the earth but he's poor towards God. Tonight you can receive God's love into your life. Tonight you can accept Jesus Christ. I believe God is igniting things in people's lives tonight. We can never lose that first love, that passion, that desire. God first, not second, not third, not last, not by the way. God first. Amen. I will bless the Lord at all times. Amen. There's times that I tell my kids, they know. Even if they come and visit me, sometimes I'm sad today and I'm in a prayer mode. I don't talk to them. They know it. I might appear rude. No. I've taught them. This is my time with God. You respect that above everything else. God first. Not second, third, fourth, fifth. First. A house will be divided. Two against three. Three against two. My daddy knows I'm going to serve God. Your daddy didn't die for you. Jesus died for you. Tonight you're watching and God's talking to you. I want every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving. Right where you are tonight, you say, I'm ready for a new walk with God. I'm ready to go higher with God. I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. If that is your desire tonight, quietly, just pray with me right now. Say this tonight. Say, Lord Jesus, say it. Put your hand on your heart and say, Lord Jesus, I give myself back to you. Thank you. For loving me just as I am. I believe you are the Christ. I believe you died for my sin. I believe you rose from the grave. I believe you're alive. Tonight, I surrender my life to you. Thank you for a new beginning, for a new life. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm born again. I am ready. Use me for your glory. In the name of Jesus. Come on, let's jump to our feet. Let's give the Lord a praise for the angels. All over South Africa, all over Africa, as people are coming to Christ right now. Come on, celebrate. Praise God right there for your neighbor, for your friends coming to Jesus tonight. Come on, church, let's remain vigilant. Let's remain vigilant. Every Sunday, tell people, tune in until we open our churches. Come on. Pray for a mighty move of God. Pray for revival. Pray for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Pray for God to use you. Let the Holy Ghost fan the flames in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, let's just praise Him for a moment. Lift your hands and give Him a bit of a praise. Come on. Come on. Come on, Faith TV, you are still with us for 1 minute. Give him a moment of praise. 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 Hallelujah. Come and ask him to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. We're going to pray next week for the baptism in the Holy Ghost. We're going to light fires again, fresh fires. We're going to ignite fires. Get fires burning brighter. A work of God, not a work of man. Touched by the hand of Jesus. Touched by the hand of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. We love you, Faith TV. Dr. Andre, Jenny, thank you for being with us. The rest of you, jump over to our social media platform. Take your seat, please. Amen. Amen. Look, God's going to do incredible things. Those that are leaders, we live a life way beyond feelings. Emotion follows motion. When Moses came to the burning fiery bush, or the bush burning with fire, he had one encounter which carried him for life. He was unstoppable because of one encounter. Didn't have to make up his mind every single time. Although he walked in partnership with God. The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. And God never has to say the same thing twice. One word from God is enough. People lose their zeal, their fire, because they're not going on the word God gave them. So God says, start a house for teenagers falling pregnant. Think if every Christian does what God puts in their hearts, how people will be helped. Think if you're a father and you take your son with you to go help a son that has nothing, how you will shape the values in that son's life. Where he gives of his time. And he watches you heal the hurt of somebody else. And he stops complaining about his little pinky that has a bruise on. We have to raise our children close to the pain of society. Well, they're not good adults. It's a mother when you help babies like you people did now. Take your daughters with. Let them see. I tell these grandchildren all the time, they don't understand me, but I always tell them, you're privileged. I tell my children all the time, never forget how privileged you are. 5,000 orphan children in South Africa. 5 million, I mean. 5 million. Your child has got 15 billion dresses and she's not happy. Tell your daughter, go get your best dresses in the cupboard. You go find somebody and you bless that person. It'll change her life. You know, we talk about greed and we think greed is only the government and those who have a lot of money. Greed is for any person that can't get enough. That's never happy. Content. So we will raise these children in the ways of God. Amen. And they will love all people. And from they are, while they're as small as this, well, it's bigger than that now. We will raise them in the ways of God. And they will have a compassion for poor people and for broken people. And they will do the work of the ministry at a young age. In Jesus' name. And you will teach them as I taught you. I love you more than anybody else. But I have to go and help other people. And you understood that. Raise your children that way. And you will be blessed. Raise them. That they're not the Alpha and the Omega. That they're an extension. They're an extension. Children quickly become selfish and self-centered because they get all the attention when they're born, and that's fine. But as they get a little bit older, you have to teach them to share. And when they take food to school, they take that food for other children as well. There's no other way. Otherwise, Christianity becomes very questionable. It's a theory, and our world doesn't need it. We're in this crisis because of a theory. People passing on a theory, and people in total self-isolation and preservation. We model Christianity. You can do Bible reading every day, and your kids can backslide, but you model who you are. Like, yeah, your private conversation. They see your action.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.